You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 29. And in our seeking to refresh our minds and hearts in the light of Jeremiah, we looking at chapter 29, and may I go directly to verse 9. 29:9. And they prophesied falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. So there were all kinds of messages about why they were into Babylon captivity and all of that, and why Jerusalem would be destroyed. And they had all of those people, false prophets and priests, etc., telling them all kinds of things that were not true. Therefore, we shared verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. I'm going to do something wonderful. You're all going to have to get out of this place. I'm going to level the city and the temple, but I'm going to have you come back. Sliding down to verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all nations and from all places, whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So they're all going to be able to have the wonderful assurance that the future holds, that they would be able to return to Jerusalem, to the city. That was their assurance. And God made it clear it had to be to this place. Now, over to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 3, remember now, all the way through, we're trying to help them understand something. Captivity is going to happen, but also recovery. So chapter 7, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amen, your ways, fix them, clean them up, make them, correct them. Amen, your ways and your doing, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. So where they were, they could stay there. If they just fix their heart right, they could stay there. Over, if I can, to verse 7. Then will I cause you, if you fix your heart right, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So it's a wonderful, wonderful assurance that they would never be out of place ever, ever again. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, picking up, please, you'll catch it in verse 12. Chapter 7, 2 Chronicles, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people, all of these things could happen. Like Job, if I allow good, should not God allow bad, evil? Doesn't God have to outwork the whole drama of redemption? So verse 13. Verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. For now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the place that is made in this place. In other words, all the prayer, all the relationship in this place, I'm going to be conscious of it. Verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, the temple, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So it's going to be in this city, in this temple forever. That's God's wonderful, wonderful assurance. Now, having said that, if I can, going over, if I can, to pick back over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 5. And we need to have another piece that will help us. And you'll remember it. Jeremiah and chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 12. I'll read verse 11 for a little context. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. How have they done that? They have belied the Lord and said, It is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. In other words, none of the things that God has told them or warned them about will ever happen. And you'll remember the little word, verb, in verse 12. They have belied. They have gone, and the word belied is intensive. It means to decrease, to lessen, to deny. To say it simply, to bring God down. They belied God. God, in his awesomeness, we have to keep exercising forever to grab hold of God's magnificence. They shrunk God down to man-sized and made him fit. That's how they did it. They took God as they understood it and shrunk him down. They belied God and made him less, made him deny all of his awesome word and truth. They took it away from God. That's how people religiously live with God. They live on whatever concepts they have, people have, whatever they're looking at, understanding. That's how we live with God. God's magnificently holy and awesome, as we've been looking at. But he's so awesome. Hang on. Now, so they're going to have to come back to this place. They're going to have to come back. That where they are in Babylon is in the world is one thing, but they've got to come back to this place. So therefore, in the light of all of that, over if you would please, in the light of that, picking up please, to Deuteronomy, do that one. Deuteronomy and chapter 12, and we'll go that way. Deuteronomy and chapter 12. And may I go directly, chapter 12, and in verse 5. 12 and 5, Deuteronomy. But we're looking at this place. That's what we keep looking at. Jerusalem, the temple. Everything goes back to that forever. Hang on. Chapter 12, verse 5. Here's the initial. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation, shall you seek, and thither shall you come. So now, having said that, if I can, over to verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. I want you to bring them all. What are we going to do there? Well, over to Exodus quickly. I'll keep you going. Exodus, what are we going to do in this place? Chapter Exodus 25. And in Exodus 25, you'll remember the purpose of the tabernacle. What's the purpose of the tent in the middle of the people? Chapter 25, Exodus, verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Now you're going to do all of that, the tabernacle. And in particular, what's the purpose? Chapter 25, and in verse 21. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and the ark thou shalt put, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I give thee, the Ten Commandments, etc. Verse 22. And there will I meet with thee, I will commune with thee, from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So God has a wonderful place, a building, a tabernacle, temple, where he's going to permanently reside, as it were, and communicate his wonderful, wonderful person, to be for his glory and honor. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, it's God's place, over, and God told them they got to return there, because that's, can we ever enjoy Babylon? No. You can be saved in Babylon, but you can never enjoy Babylon. You can't. You can be saved in Christ, but you can't enjoy being in Christ in the fullest sense, apart from the body. The believers belong where? No question. Where do believers, God tells you, 10,000 times, that your believers belong in the body. Hang on, you'll make it real. They belong in the body. That's what they do. So you can't enjoy the fullness, we've said that for years. That's why the local church, and why you have all of the apostasy and all the stuff at the present age we live in. Because we never did that. We just don't do it like we should, comparatively, now. So therefore, over if I can to 1 Kings. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, you would recall, verse 28. This is Solomon's great prayer and the dedication of the temple. Chapter 8, verse 28. Yet have you respect unto the prayer of thy servant, Solomon's praying, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee this day. What is it? Verse 29. That thine eyes may be opened toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. Why? That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place. That's what I'm looking for. So sliding over, if I can, to verse 47. That's a God, you honor. Solomon wasn't David, but Solomon understood that that was the place. There is no other place. There is no other place in the whole universe. That's the place. So we can't change that. And that's for Israel and the nations and his future, you'll see. Chapter 8, picking up, please. In verse 47. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, now that's what we're looking at in Jeremiah, they're taken captive in Babylon. So therefore, verse 47, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, they get their heart right, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captives. In other words, they're in Babylon, and if they repent and get their heart right, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, and we have committed wickedness. Verse 48. And so return unto thee, with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies. They're still in Babylon. which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward this land, their land, back looking back at Jerusalem, and which thou gavest unto thy fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Wow. Verse 49. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. In other words, is God going to be acceptable? Yes. But always on his terms, in his place. Now, what's so awesome and wonderful about this place? What makes the temple? It's God's place. And what was the problem? Israel had made it their place, their temple, their worship, their sacrifices, and they made a mess of it. They lost God in his place, and it became their place. It became our church, and we lost his church. And we're living with it. We're living with our churches. We lost his church. Now, hang on. So therefore, here they are, and looking. So God, look over to chapter 9. God answers. Did God answer the prayer? Yes, he did. Chapter 9, verse 3. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house, made it holy, which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, so we don't have to worry about that. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. So when you look, you're always going to find. Look to Jerusalem, look to the temple, that's where I'm going to be. That's where I'm going to be. You want to find me and look to me, that's my plan. You want to seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, what's so wonderful about the temple? It's because the tabernacle. What made the tabernacle glorious? God did. What made the temple glorious? 1 Kings 8. God did. Now, God makes it glorious. God. But without God, it's just a building, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, God's going to keep his word, and it's Christ, God is there, Christ is there. Chapter 43 of Ezekiel. Into the millennium, chapter 43. And may I pick up, please, chapter 43, picking up in verse 5. This is the millennium now. They're going to build the temple. What about the temple? In Jerusalem. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, this is the tabernacle. God, Jeremiah sees all of that ahead of time. Behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, place the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they, nor their kings, nor by their whoredom, nor by their carcasses of their kings in their high places. That's what it's going to be. The millennium, wonderful, wonderful thing in the millennium. Over to verse 48. Chapter 48, I should say, quicker. Chapter 48. Picking up, if I may. In verse 29. End of Ezekiel 48, 29. This is the land which you shall divide by lot. This is their future, what's going to happen in the millennium. And God's going to go and have a special city land, and there'll be the gates, three tribes on each side, northeast and southeast and west. three times. What's it going to be special? What's the millennium? What's so special about it? Well, it's God's place. He told you. It's always his place. The millennium, Jerusalem, the temple. So when you come to the end, verse 35, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. What was the tabernacle so great? God was there. The temple, God was there. What happened? They didn't want God there. They took over, and God left and left them with that which they had, which was nothing. And they ended up with the temple being destroyed, etc. God, what are you going to do in the millennium? I'm going to show the world. I'm going to show nations by Israel. Israel, the city, all blocked up, right? But the names, the special city, all marked out. And Israel's going to be what? What are we going to call the place? Not just the temple. What are we going to call the city? God is there. What made it all important? What makes the place of God? Why is the place of God so critical? Because that's where God is. You want to find God, seek me and search for me with all your heart, and you'll find me in my place. Hang on. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and let's do it even a little further, jump way ahead, over to Revelation and chapter 21. After the millennium comes the eternal state, new heavens and new earth. And may I pick up, please, chapter 21, Revelation, sliding up to verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It's a new heaven, new earth. Wow. But big, that's what it's going to be. No stars, etc. Just God. Sliding over if I can. Chapter 21. Over again. Chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein. Why not? No more temple? No more temple. No more. 22. And I saw no temple therein. Why? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple in it. God's the temple. There's nothing outside of God. Everything and forever is inside of God. There's nothing outside. We have an outside, a limit. There is nothing outside of God. That's awful hard because it's beyond our understanding. Correct. That's because he's God. Now, having said that, that's chapter 22. Sliding down to verse, chapter 22. I don't do it that fast. Chapter 21, we read verse 22. I'm going to read verse 23. And the city which had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Why? For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light of it. So God, that's an awesome thing. That's correct. 22, verse 5. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For reason, the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So God, what are you going to do? The tabernacle, the temple, my place. And when I'm all done, a new heavens and a new earth, my place. The Lord is there. It's his place. You know from 1 Corinthians 15, the whole conclusion of all of time into eternity, that God may be God all in all, period. God in everything. Because God is God. He's the creator. He is the redeemer. He did it all in his most wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and if you could, over in Isaiah chapter 60 now, going backwards into the millennium. Isaiah in chapter 60. And I'm going to have to move fast. won't move very fast. Isaiah chapter 60. And would you please note, I'm going to go directly to verse 7. Well, I'm going to leave off verse 7 for time's sake. Go to verse 13. And the glory, this is the temple in the millennium. God is going to have the temple built. Awesome temple in Jerusalem. Verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious, where I am, where I am. It's glorious. That's why the temple's glory, everything's glory, where God is. That's why the bush, Exodus 3. Why was the bush, Moses? Glorious. God was in it. God was in the bush. God was in the bush. Okay. Now, so we'll hustle along now and try to go. One other thing I should do. Isaiah 57. We're missing a whole lot, but I don't want you to get wet. How's that? Isaiah 57. And you will notice, please, may I go to verse 15. Isaiah 57, 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, that's God. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite, broken, broken heart, contrite, and humble spirit, to cause to live, the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I'm in the place, what? And I'm going to do. What am I looking for, God, in that place? I'm looking to find whosoever's humbled and contrite hearts in my place, and I will give them the life, the wonderful, wonderful enjoyment of being in my place. That's why you've got to come back to my place. You have to get back to where God has it all together. In the Israel, the nation, ultimately, in the church, ultimately, the body of Christ before God. Now, having said that little bit, and so in the process now, over if you would, I'll do it quickly. You know when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, I'll do it another different way. When God and all of these different temple and everything, and when the temple was destroyed, Herod's temple was destroyed, 70 AD, there's no temple, and there's no temple now, and there's no temple, not until the Antichrist. So there's no temple, no. And in the process of all of that, God, what are we looking at? Well, God sent his son after 400 years. God sent his son, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And God in his son, in the place. Where is the place of God? In his son. Where are we going to find God permanently? In his son. That's his place. Who made all of these wonderful buildings glorious? God did. He got it. When God's there, it's glorious. In his place. Now, all of that, we got that. Now we got to lock it on to ourselves. In the light of that, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing and saves you. And God in Christ saves you and brings to you God's wonderful person and presence so that you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. An awesome new creature in Christ Jesus, a brand new creation for God to have his place. Well, hang on, 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. And you will note, I just want you to note it in your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up if I can, In verse 16, in the light of the wonderful context of the Bema Seat of Christ, etc. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. This is plural, ye is plural, the whole congregation in Corinth. Know ye not that ye are, present tense, know that you, plural, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So if you were living in Corinth, and you're all sitting there, make believe this is Corinth, and you're all sitting there, and the Spirit of God, read the letter, they're all looking at each other, what are we doing? What are we doing here? We are the, what? The temple of God. That's what it says. And the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. Is that true for us? That's the question. So you just read it. I just wanted you to see if it's different. Why are we here? Because the temple of God, it's in His body. That's where the body is, gathered together. And in the process, you are the temple of God as a body. So what if people come to church? They come for all kinds of reasons and in and out and come and go. That's the way it is. We're at the end of the age. But the believing heart that wants to be in His place, we come to church for a whole different reason. We assemble for a whole different reason. Do you understand? We don't just come because it's time to go to church, it's Sunday, and I want to whatever. No, I want to score some points with God. No. No, I belong. I'm part of the body. I'm a believer. So when you come to church like that, isn't it different? Hang on, because it's His place. Now God, you're going to have a wonderful future for in the millennium, in the eternal state, and all of these things. But in the meantime, you went to the cross, they denied, rejected you, and we're whosoever's that believe, and you've placed us to demonstrate your marvelous grace. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates on the cross the grace of God in saving us. So us whosoever's that believe are assembled together to what? To show you. Where are you? In this place. Do you understand? Well, I know you do, but I'll bet you not enough people do. They have no idea when they go to church. Not a drip, anything. Wow. You're in His place. That's where God is. We didn't ask God to be here. That's what He said. That's where He is. Hang on. It's wonderful. Over to chapter 6. Just tie it into your own heart again. Chapter 6, 19, which you know. Let all of these things sink in. Don't just get them in the ear. Oh, yeah, I know that. Baloney. If you just know it, it's no good to you. You'll become it. You're a real believer in the real body, in the real God. And say, no one can. No, they don't want God. The world doesn't want Him. So chapter 6, verse 19, what know you not? 6 and 19, that your body is the temple. So here we are, a body of believers with a whole bunch of bodies, all your bodies that are His, and all your bodies that are His make one body. Make one body. One local body. Marvelous. It's His place. So where do we have to go? Nowhere. We are. Housing, holding, enjoying, hopefully, God's wonderful person and presence to enjoy God's being in His place. He saved us, as we shared the other week or two, and all these different things. In God's place. Wow. No, God, that's what we're doing, in your place. So in the place where God is holy and heavenly and happy and glorious. Wherever is God holy, here. Where and wherever believers are gathered together. Where is he happy? Where is he heavenly? Where is he glorious? Right here. So, now when all the ills and aches that come our way, here's Israel at this point in Jeremiah. Part of them are in Babylon. The rest are going to be coming soon. Those that survive, Nebuchadnezzar's destroying of the city. And they're all going to be there. And here we are in the world. And the world's in terrible, terrible shape. And it's not going to get any better because it has to get worked out. And everything is going on. If you're looking anywhere, it's overwhelming. Overwhelming. And things. And so all of it's happening. Now, we aren't in heaven, no. And the church isn't very heavenly. It isn't very helpful. We go to it, but we don't help get help. Well, God, what are we doing? I need to know what. God said, as I sent my son, my father, our Lord Jesus said, as my father sent me, so send I you. And here we are. What are we doing? Think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah hung in through the city and survived it all because he warned them and they didn't listen and God kept him. So here we are in the midst of this awesome, terrible movement that's going to change the world in many ways. All of this. Do we have to run? Are we enjoying a wonderful spiritual revival with heaven and everything? No. No, we aren't. No, we're just us. And with ills and aches and aging and all the different things we got, wow. It's just us. But we want to be in his place. And as a believer, you are, if you're a believer, you are in his place. You are his place. Right now. And to boot, I gotta quit. Thank you for your patience. You gotta quit. God has you seated, Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, in heavenly places. You are in God's place right now, in his place, and at the same moment, you're still here representing him as God the Son, representing our Lord. And he is in your place, which is now his place. That's awesome. You got to return to the place, said the Lord to the people. When you're scattered all over Israel, you got to return back to Jerusalem. No matter how you cut the cookie, you're going to have to get back there. You have to look to my plan, to my purpose, where I'm going to be glorified. In forever is in that city. That heavenly city. And I want you to understand that so that you don't play games with it. You just look to me and I'll help you. You aren't in the city. You aren't going to be able to get back to Jerusalem. But boy, you can look to me wherever you are. Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 8 and all that. Wherever you are, you can look to me. And when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And I'm right there. You aren't in Israel, you aren't there, but you will be. It will take what to get you there? 7 years of awesome tribulation. That's what's going to wake Israel up. In the meantime, we are headed there. We aren't going to go there, but we're headed there. And the harbinger, the shadow, we see the shadow of it as we go. More and more of the giant, of the dilemma, of the tribulation out there. We see it. But we're closer. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, are we in the right? What place do I need to be? God has taken your body. It is his place. He isn't moving. He isn't going anywhere. You can't, like Israel, be in and out, up and down. God is in you, he possesses, he purchased you, he possesses you, and he's going to honor himself in all of that he does. and you and I represent him. We are in his place, no matter how it goes. We're in his place for his glory. That's where we are. We're his temple, his body. We're his. So be careful when you say, we're my church or this. It's his church, it's you. You are his property. I belong to God, and that will offend 1,000 people. To say God is in you of a truth, that offends people. That God, that's what the problem with the Jews and all these things. That God, how could God be in you? But he is in his place. He bought it with a price. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. A little anyway. In this place. In this place. Wow.